Now, I know that some of you might be thinking, you know, boy, we started off with kids singing, you know, what seemed to be a lighthearted skit, and we go to what seems to be suddenly, you know, a dark moment. And you know, how does that fit? How does that fit into what not only the skit was, but the whole service? I mean, we might be here and say, well, you know, this is supposed to be Christmas Eve. I mean, it's supposed to be a time that we kind of escape from all of that. Now, I wanted to be honest, you know, as we thought about this, you know, we planned the service and we wanted to plan something, ideally, that we could focus on the joy of Christmas, that it would be a wonderful time that you could come and enjoy it. But one of the ways to do that would be to try to have a service that was all about creating this, just the focus of the joy. And the goal would be that you can maybe escape from the awareness of those challenges or difficulties for a little while, just for this hour. And that's tempting to do. In fact, for many, that might be what you expect. And I realize here that there are a lot of people that are here today, maybe even the vast majority, who your life isn't the ideal Christmas. It isn't what you hope for, dream for, or wish it would be like on this Christmas Eve. And if all we can offer is maybe an hour where you can escape from the awareness of the struggles, but then you have to go back into those difficulties, well, that's not a whole lot. Because all of us do have to go back home. And Christmas, the meaning of Christmas, is a whole lot more than just kind of enjoying the magic for a moment and escaping the awareness of reality. See, it's something that tells us the meaning of Christmas is that Jesus Christ, God eternal, became a baby, took on human flesh. And in doing so, he entered our world. He entered the reality of our lives. He brings divine hope. He brings deliverance into the pain, into the brokenness that all of us either are facing now or will face. And while we do hope that this is an enjoyable time and that it's one that you can maybe escape in a little way, I also hope that it's more than just an escape. I hope that it's a time that when we look at the meaning of Christmas and the reality again of Jesus Christ coming into our world, that it tells us that it's a focus that brings a joy that we can bring back home, that actually brings hope into the reality of our lives, no matter what that reality is. What I want to do this evening is to take just a few moments to look at a wonderful verse in the book of Isaiah. It's a verse that tells us something about what it meant that Jesus came. It's a verse that at the time was prophecy and saying, this is who God is going to send and this is who he's going to be. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 tells us, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, the part I want to focus on here is the names, that it really says specifically there, yes, it's a child that's born. We understand that, this baby Jesus that's born. But who will he be? We're told, "And he shall be called." He will be given these names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, to understand this, what I want to do is to take a moment and think about the meaning of names. Think about this. When we give names, there's, you know, sometimes we just choose a name that we like and it doesn't really have any meaning. Sometimes you run across somebody that, you know, that has a name that seems to doesn't fit at all. It's like if I said, well, here's my pet gerbil, Terminator. You know, you're just like, well, that doesn't fit at all. And in fact, I think about that even with our family. Just about a month ago, our dog of more than 13 years passed away. And so it was a sad time for us. And after seeing our kids walking around depressed for a couple days, you know, we gave in very quickly and we said, okay, this is the Christmas that the big present is a new dog. And so we said, okay, we got a new dog and especially it's for David. And since it's his dog, he gets to choose the name. And so we started talking about names and somehow we got fixated on bear themes. So we thought maybe just bear or maybe, you know, Teddy, like Teddy Bear. Or maybe Grizzly, like Grizzly Bear. And boy, a lot of us, some of us, we were pushing for Grizzly Bear. And if you know this dog, you know that Grizzly Bear is, boy, that what a fitting name. I mean, it is 3 pounds of the most vicious bear that you could imagine. And you look at that and you say, obviously, you know, if you give it Grizzly, that's an irony. I mean, the fact is, David is his dog, and he chose a more appropriate name. Teddy, it's Teddy Bear. I mean, it's a little teddy bear. That's what it is. He's so cute. Now, why do I mention this? Because when we look at this passage in Isaiah, and it says, his name shall be called, God gives names here, and it's not names that were given by someone else. It's literally God giving himself names, and he's saying, here, let me give names that are descriptive, that describe who I really am, that describe as this Messiah comes. This is who he is. This is why he's coming. This is his identity. This is his nature. And the first name he tells us is one that it tells us something in nature, saying that he will come and that he will bring the knowledge of a wonderful counselor. Now, why is he a wonderful counselor? Because he's one that can relate to our weaknesses. He understands our emotions and fears. He literally can say, I know what it is to experience loss. I know what it is to experience rejection. I know what it is to live in poverty. You see, think about it. If any of us have ever been to a counselor or received counsel from anyone, one of the character traits of a good counselor is someone who have experienced things that are similar to what we're going through. I mean, you go to a grief counselor who's someone who has experienced grief. You go to people, you know, people that have experienced the pain that we've been through. I remember a number of years ago, I had a friend of mine who wanted to be a marriage and family counselor. And so he studied and got the degrees, and that's what he always wanted to do. The problem was is that he was in his 50s, and he never had children of his own. And so he's out there trying to give people advice about parenting or about what it's like to have the stresses of raising children and how that impacts marriage. And the thing is he read a lot of books. He knew a lot of information. But if I had parenting issues, I wouldn't go to him because he didn't understand. He didn't understand experientially what it meant. He couldn't relate as a counselor. And so likewise in life, I mean, you know, we go through times in life and there are times that we go through real difficulties. And I might be able to say, boy, I hurt for you. And boy, if I haven't been there, though, I can't say I understand because I don't understand. There's some things I do understand because I've been there. There's other things that I really don't. The beautiful thing is what we're told here is that Jesus comes and he says, okay, I can be a wonderful counselor because he understands. He says, I understand because I lived in a body like you. I've experienced the world where you've lived in. You know, when you're struggling emotionally, I understand because I had emotions just like you. When you're crying over someone that broke your heart, I understand. I've been through that. When you're going through and you're experiencing the challenges of poverty, the challenges of oppression, the challenges of betrayal, I understand. When you're crying over someone who died, I understand. I lived in a body and I had a friend, Lazarus, died, and I stood over his tomb and I wept. I know pain. And the book of Hebrews says it this way. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to this our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He's experienced life. He's been there. He's lived it all. And this isn't just theology, it's practical. So he says in the next verse, then let us draw with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We're called to seek him as a wonderful counselor and realize that he understands. What a great truth. But it's not only that he's a wonderful counselor, he gives us a second name. And he says that this is a wonderful counselor who not only understands, but that can fix things, that brings solution, because he's mighty God. He has the power and ability of being mighty God. See, it's not only, again, that he can understand in the sense that he's been involved and been faced what we faced, but he is God outside of our world and creation. He's the one who created and knows all things. He uniquely understands it. And we look at this and you say, here we have someone who understands. You know, but he's not only that, but he provides solutions to the problem. See, if all we have is a counselor understands, that's great. You know, you go to a counselor to understand. But if they don't have an outside solution, I'm sitting there saying, okay, boy, here I've lost somebody. And if somebody, yeah, man, I'm depressed too. I was depressed. I'm still depressed. If all they have is to empathize in our depression, and they don't offer us any help, that's not a great counselor. And that's oftentimes what we can see. We can find people that yes, they can relate. Let me even do it this way. This is a really simple illustration, but I think it has the idea. You know, that you look at that and you say, if I use it in these terms and say, okay, here I have the box. And in a sense, you say, the box is whatever situation we're at. You know, we're in this box, and here's the box. Here's my loss. Here's my pain. Here's my addiction. Here's the brokenness. Here's the struggle within the family. I'm in this box. And you know what we need is somebody, a counselor who has been in this box, that's in there with me, that understands what it is to live in this box, to face these pressures. And Jesus said, I've done that. But if all I have is someone who lives in this box, who understands and is limited by the box, you see, then all they can do is say, I understand, but all we can do is empathize and say, boy, isn't this difficult, and but let's cry together. And what we have in Jesus is someone who has come into the box and has experienced it, but at the same time, he's out of the box. He's God eternal. He's the one that existed beforehand, and he's resurrected, and he's in heavens now. And so here you have God who knows what it is to be in the box, but at the same time, he's out of the box. He's not limited to the perspective of just one and then in the box like the rest of us. We have times where we say, boy, I've got this problem, I don't know how to fix it. I need an outside power. You know what? We've got a God who brings that power, who brings solutions outside of the box. And that's what we desperately need. Think of it this way. This is an idea that we see even in movies and stories. That we think of all the great stories. What you have is you have people that are in the box, and they have the crisis of in the box, and the only solution is someone outside of the box. So princess stories, Cinderella. I mean, here she's in this crisis, and she's got the evil stepmother, and what's her hope? Well, there's got to be a fairy godmother out of the box that is going to come and that is going to fix the problem, that's going to bring power and perspective that no one else would, that she couldn't have. You know, the big thing now is superhero movies. And we have all these problems, and the world's falling apart, and we can't do anything. But we need the superheroes to come, and the superheroes who are out of the box, who have powers and abilities that are supernatural, and they come in and they fix things that couldn't be fixed. But let's take even for example, I mean, the big movie of this Christmas season, the Star Wars movie. And here you have this, you know, this rebellion, and the people are about to give up, and because there's the Empire and there's power that's so powerful and there's no hope. In fact, let me just take a little clip from the trailer, and you get this picture, and listen to what they say.
The power that we are dealing with here is immeasurable.
If the Empire has this kind of power, what chance do we have?
We have hope. Rebellions are built on hope.
See, and here it is. If they have this power, boy, it's in the box. We have there's no hope. There's nothing we can do. What chance do we have? And she says, there's hope. Now, what's the hope if you know the Star Wars movies? The hope is the Force. There's a power outside of this, and somehow we can get the Force, and if we get the Force, there's hope. And what's the next movie? The New Hope. And what's the New Hope? Well, there's this guy that has the ability to access the Force, and because he can get outside of the box, get an outside power, well, therefore, we can even beat the Empire. Now, when we look at this, what we need to realize is that is all these are you know, science fiction or fictional. You know, man, we're buried, and there needs to be something. Well, there is no Force, and there is no fairy godmother, and there are no superheroes. But you know what? There's a real story of someone outside of the box who is a wonderful counselor and knows what it is to live in the box, but brings power and insight and perspective from outside to give us hope, to fix things. See, we have a wonderful God who is powerful, but he's not distant. He knows us. But the Christmas story is that he didn't stay distant, but instead he entered our world, he enters our brokenness to bring hope, to bring healing. But to be able to experience that, I need to come to him as God. I need to be able to come to him and say, God, I realize that I have brokenness I can't fix on my own. But thank you for entering my world and bringing that hope. As a God who became a baby, but at the same time maintained the, you know, deity and the power and perspective of Almighty God. To bring hope and healing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is knowing that I need him. I need him. But it's not only that we have this wonderful counselor, that's mighty God, but we're also told that he's also everlasting Father. Because the fact of the matter is that I could find the most wonderful counselor of all, who understands me. And I can understand that he's got powers outside of the box that I need. And I can have all this and still our hearts cry out for something more. Because we don't just need a wonderful counselor who's going to relate to us as a counselor client. We need a relationship of a father-child. We need this relationship and security of everlasting Father. We long for that relationship. See, when we think of this relationship, why does he say everlasting Father? Because there's no relationship that's more intimate. There's no relationship that brings more of a picture of security, of a father where a child can run up and climb up in his lap and hug and kiss and ask for things and know that the Father loves them. Now, unfortunately, I realize that for many, this is a challenge. You look at this and say, everlasting Father, I have a hard time connecting those dots because I have a dad that wasn't good, that failed me, that, you know, that wasn't reliable, that wasn't loving, that wasn't there. But you know what? Even as you struggle for that, you struggle because part of you knows that you were created to have a good dad. We need that. We long for that. Many live their whole lives, they're trying to somehow earn dad's approval because we long for that relationship. And what I want you to realize is that God gives this title to himself because he knew that we all needed it. And for those of us that struggle with a relationship with our dads that isn't what we long for it to be, what he's saying is that here's the father that you long for. Here's the father that you need. Here's the father that will not let you down. Others of us, we're here and we think of that dad and maybe we had a good dad. But even as this Christmas comes, it's a time of reminder because he's not here. He's passed away. And for the vast majority of us, sooner or later, that's going to be our reality. And we're here, boy, Dad, I relied on you, but what happened? You're not here. You can't meet my needs anymore. You know what I love about this is a relationship with everlasting Father, with a dad that will not only never fail us, but never leave us. It's a relationship that we all long for, that we all desperately need. This relationship with one who loves us with the intimacy of a father, at the same time knows us with the knowledge of a counselor and brings strength and brings help with the power of Almighty God. He says, this is what you need. And God is telling us, I know what you need. I made you that way. And because you have this desperate need, that's why I came. That's why I came in the flesh. And I want to be the counselor that you need to support you and to love you, to know you. To be the Almighty God when you feel overwhelmed and when you realize that all your strategies, all your abilities, as long as it's in the box, you can't bring an answer because you're limited. You face things that are bigger than you are. And doing so in the context of a loving relationship with Almighty Father, with the everlasting Father who will never let you down, that will never leave. It's this relationship that we long for. And Christmas is a story that God pursued us to give us that relationship. In John chapter 1, Jesus, we're told this, to all those who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. See, it's a story about a child that was born, about God Almighty, everlasting Father, who became a child. But he became a child so that we could know him. Because the fact is that all of us are separated from God naturally by our sins. We're created for this relationship with God, but we don't have it. It's broken. But Jesus Christ came, God eternal, into humanity, so that ultimately he would grow up and he would die on the cross and he would take the penalty for our sins. So that all who believe that, all who believed in his name, all that received him, said, God, I know I need that. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. God, I need that relationship. I want to accept you and not only embrace you as the counselor I need, but as the God who needs to lead my life. I need that relationship with you as a father I can trust in, who's never going to let me down. That's going to be everlasting. He invites each one of us this evening to that relationship. And the question is, have you ever accepted him as your Lord and Savior? I hope you have. If you haven't, I hope that this evening would be a time that you not only remember the meaning of Christmas and what it meant that Jesus was born, but what it means to you. That God came to pursue you and invite you into this relationship with him. And to all who receive him and believed in his name, he will give the right to become the child of God.